Welcome to June's edition of SQL Unplugged. I'm Scott Klein, and with me is Rohan Kumar. As always, Rohan, welcome to the show. So we apologize for being a little late, had some technical difficulties, but hopefully you stuck with us. We've got a lot to talk about in about 15, 20 minutes. We're going to try to get to these. So let's begin. It's been, what, so SQL Server 2016 was released GA...
1st of June.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about first, we'll get to that because we've got a lot to talk about. Let's begin with one of the things that everybody's excited about is SQL DW.
Right.
How has that, that's been, I won't say out, that's been kind of in preview for quite some time.
Correct.
A lot of excitement around that. How is that resonating with everybody?
You know, it's actually been pretty great. So we released the preview of SQL DW around June end of last year in 2015. And you know, one of the big differentiating points we had with SQL DW was the separation of compute and storage, which you know, which was pretty novel in the industry, if you will, where you know, you could basically store lots and lots of data inside SQL DW. And then choose the amount of compute that you want to use. Because there are times when you want to store a small amount of data. So we didn't want to base, you know, the fundamental difference was we didn't want to tie them together. And that, I think that, you know, so that was one specific aspect of it. And the other thing being the ability to actually pause and resume your instance. Usually if you take a look at, you know, like the DW workloads, they sort of peak to do some back-end calculations over a weekend or a month
end.
Correct. So that was... You know, we wanted to build something that actually aligned very well with the DW scenario itself. Right? So that's resonating really well. And the ability to basically scale up and scale down and very quickly. You know, you can go from, you know, like 100 DWs and, you know, we support all the way to 6,000 DWs. So it was 60 nodes doing MPP data warehousing, right? So these three aspects are actually resonating really well. You know, we're doing very well when it comes to price performance with benchmarks like TPCH.
Yeah, and I was going to ask that. Is this, you know, I think from a PaaS, you know, if you look, think of the benefits of PaaS, right? Is this really what is driving the excitement? And we talk about resonating with, you know, SQL DW. Is that really these things you've talked about, right? Being able to scale up, scale down, being able to just say, hey, you know, not have to pre-purchase things like that. Is that really why people is driving the excitement around?
Absolutely.
You know, and the price cost like you talked about.
Correct. So usually if you sort of look at, you know, a classic tier, you know, enterprise, you know, tier two, tier three kind of data marts, these are pretty expensive, right? So a fundamental design point was how do you make it very economical to do EDW, create data marts, and just provide a ton of flexibility with respect to data volumes, compute that you want to run on it, you know, being able to pause and resume, scale up and scale down in an efficient manner. So all those have been just built into the SQL DW design. Yeah, so all of those are resonating really
and
well.
And really, with the adoption of the cloud, are people like going, you know, is there no hesitation because it's in the cloud? I mean, is it, I don't care, it's...
Yeah, you know, so the things, interestingly, more of the analytics workloads, the rate at which they are getting migrated to the cloud has been very surprising. I mean, you know, it's, you know, faster than we actually thought. And I think part of it is because of just the economies of scale. Usually you want to do analytics on very large volumes of data, and cloud is just a cheaper economic model for, you know, doing something like that. So I think that's one of the key reasons why there's a huge amount of disruption that's happening in the EDW space.
Hey, so look, Aaron Nelson tells us that the SQL team is doing a killer job right now. So kudos to the SQL team. Sorry.
Yeah,
thanks, Aaron.
I'll make sure that the tools team knows. But yeah, I think they're on this monthly cadence of making updates to you know, SSMS and SSDT. And you'll see the Helsinki tools are going to follow pretty shortly.
That's exciting.
Pretty excited about that.
So if you got a question for Rohan, feel free to type it in. We'll be happy to answer those. Going back to the SQL DW, what's down the road for that, if we can talk about that?
Yeah, so, you know, the team right now is, you know, and like I'd say, it's sort of working very hard towards completing it and, you know, finally making the service generally available. So, you know, without sharing a lot of details on when exactly that's going to happen, it is, you know, it is in the near future, right?
Okay.
And I think this is one of the great aspects of this whole Azure preview, you know, before GA thing, where you learn a ton from customer feedback. And I think the team has done a fantastic job of, you know, working with customers. We have actually several dozens of customers already running DW workloads in production. And several hundred customers who are trying it out. And there's just a ton of excitement and very, very big names as well, right? So, you know, we've learned from them. There's excellent feedback that's coming in, so we're excited about it.
Cool. All right, let's move on from there. I think a nice segue into, you know, we talked about SQL 16, just, you know, being GA'd and June 1st. What's the, there was a lot of excitement before that, but now that it's GA'd and publicly available, what's the feedback? I mean, is there any feedback we're getting from that? And what's the excitement around that?
It's been amazing, man. I'll tell you a thing. We released it on 6/1, and within like, what, where are we at? Like 21st of June.
2020, yep.
And we have close to about 12 customers that I know of, and there are many more who have already gone into production since then. Like, they're just waiting for it to go GA. I mean, this level of adoption has just been record setting. I mean, it's, I've never seen this, you know, I've been with SQL for a very, very long time. And I think it's sort of, again, you know, we've sort of spoken about this in the show in the past, which is a lot of it is to do with the fact that we worked very closely month over month, you know, getting feedback and iterating on this release. So it's actually, it's, you know, it just works.
Is that due to the, you know, this month over month iteration, is that because of the whole cloud first type of, get that feedback, you know?
Yes, it is the cloud first innovation, which is the key principle of how SQL does engineering now. Okay. And yeah, that was, you know, the key basis in, you know, releasing these monthly builds. But it's been phenomenal to watch, actually. I keep, like, every day I get two or three emails from, you know, the field and the customers saying, wow, it's a great product. It just, you know, I upgraded to SQL 16 and things are just faster.
Just faster.
I mean, it's just a joy to read emails like that.
What are we seeing? Let's tail that into, you know, we see that from an on-prem perspective. Is there a difference? Are we seeing more adoption from a, you know, Azure VM perspective versus on-premises? I mean, because I think as soon as it was GA'd, we saw, you know, SQL 16 available in the VMs.
Right? Correct. Yeah. So that was, again, very, very intentional, right? Yeah. I mean, historically, what we've seen is over the last couple of years, the adoption of the newer releases in Azure IaaS VMs is a lot higher than the older ones.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, if you can look at classic enterprise, you see there's a huge adoption of 2008, 2012, 2014 is picking up, and I think 2016 is going to pick up a lot faster than the previous releases.
Yeah.
But in Azure VMs, we saw this with 14, and we are definitely seeing this with 16 as well, where the uptick is actually phenomenal. 16, I think, you know, if I have my data right, is the fastest growing SQL Server release, you know, with Express and now developer being available as well in Azure VMs right now.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, people want to try it out. They've heard a lot about it. There's a ton of buzz.
Yeah, oh yeah, and it's easy to get started.
It's easy to get started.
Is there any specific, because, you know, you talked about this, is, you know, there's just a plethora of awesome features in 16.
Right.
Is there any one specific thing that, or any one specific feature that is standing out above the others, or, I mean, what's generating the most?
You know, there are a few, I'd say, and again, it's been a journey, right, over the last year and a half as we've released it. More recently, there's a ton of excitement around the R services. I've seen that, you know, like over the last few months, is, you know, the team shifted in CDP3, and then, you know, with some of the ISVs like Pros and et cetera, have adopted it and have seen significant gains. So there's a ton of excitement around that. You know, Polybase is another one, Stretch.
Yep.
So, I mean, I don't know if there's any one that stands out, really. I think there's just so much of value that's gone into this release.
Right.
There's, you know, the different sets of customers, you know, like, you know, I was actually speaking to a customer just last week. And they're very interested in, like, hey, when will Polybase start speaking to all the NoSQL stores? When will Polybase, you know?
Right.
So they get the concept, right? And it, and that's the exciting part.
And it's probably a little too early to tell, right, with just being GA'd. Right? I think down the road, maybe by the next 6-12 months, we'll see kind of which is standing out. Right?
Correct.
Aaron asked another question. We need create table as select in regular SQL Server to help us make the transition to clustered column store easier. This feature is already in SQL DW. Any chance we can get it in SQL Server soon?
You know, Aaron, what I suggest is, I mean, I think that feedback is fair. We've seen CTAS being used for, you know, bulk loading data into SQL DW through Polybase. What I suggest is, you know, why don't you file the request with Connect? I mean, this is a thing that, you know, we review on a monthly basis, but I can definitely see why he's asking for it. I mean, it's not the first time. I mean, as the data load speeds, people are definitely seeing that that's a required feature.
Yeah, put up Connect. If it's not, if it's probably already there, you know, you can vote for those. So.
Correct.
I'll go to that. All right, let's move on. SQL VM. Let's talk about, move to the SaaS world for a minute. We talked about this probably some time ago, but I think it's time we come back to this. One of the big things is Elastic Pools, right? How do we think about SaaS? How is Elastic Pools being viewed today? Because I know we talked about, I did a Data Exposed you know, with someone, it's huge, but how do we see this, you know, again, from the resonating perspective?
Yeah, so Elastic Pools, I think we sort of mentioned it last time at G8 in May.
Yeah.
And I, you know, you could see it's always interesting when you GA something, the adoption just sort of, you know, you could see this hockey stick adoption, right?
Yeah.
Now, internally within SQL Azure, we track what are called, this is the SaaS ISV pattern, where if somebody uses, you know, more than 10 databases for a single app, that sort of falls into that category. It's a rough definition that we have. And then we track the usage of, you know, the growth, both from a usage and from a business standpoint of application patterns like these. So that's a cohort. Yep. You know, from a business standpoint, right? And actually, it's been phenomenal. And and I think Elastic Pools as a serves two things. One is it makes it really easy to build multi-tenant apps, right? Like if you take a look at typically when people use databases to build multi-tenant apps, a lot of the complex multi-tenancy logic gets inbuilt into the application, and they try to optimize. They stuff a lot of multiple customer data into a single database. And that's a pattern that we support in SQL Azure as well, because you know you have SharePoint and a bunch of external ISVs that are using it. But for a regular SaaS ISV who just wants to start building on the cloud, that's a very complicated way of building it. So this was a key design point of Elastic Pools. How do you make it really simple to build a multi-tenant app where the isolation is per database, you know, your resource governance is per database. And the other aspect was how do you make it very an economically viable model?
Yeah.
So if I have 10,000 customers, if I'm paying individually per database, it's going to become very expensive because not all the databases are used every, you know, all tenants are active at all points in time. So how do you create this notion of a pool where those resources are shared between tenants?
Yeah.
And then you have policies where you can dictate the min max
so
they don't, you know, create a noisy neighbor situation for each other. So it's both the economic model and the developer efficiency of, you know, writing multi-tenant apps. And it's quite differentiated in the industry, like nobody else, none of the other, you know, cloud vendors have this. And that's one of the reasons why I think we're seeing the excitement.
Yeah, and you know, we kind of keyed on the key benefits around that. But, you know, as we look at SaaS and look at the adoption, you know, how do we see, and you and I talked about this, I think, before we started, you know, what's, you know, how do people envision our PaaS and SaaS from an enterprise perspective? What are we doing to say, we are, you know, what's the right way to say, how are we viewed from an enterprise perspective?
Yeah. Right? And So a lot of the SaaS apps that are actually, I mean, these are pretty, you know, tier one, tier two. I mean, you know, people are running their ISVs that are running their, you know, the entire public facing multi-tenant app on it. So it's actually pretty tier one for them.
Yeah.
Now there's aspects when you think about the traditional lift and shift, I want like a heavy, you know, scale up sort of a workload that I'm, you know, running on-prem that I want to move. And we have a whole strategy in FY17 to go big on what we call the enterprise tier one for DBaaS. A big, and you start seeing we're making, you know, we already have Hackathon available in public preview, right, for the premium databases. And it's actually pretty interesting because today, if you think about the database as a service, SQL DB clearly, SQL Azure clearly stands out as the only service that has this deep level of in-memory OLTP and column store integration, right? You have other, you know, service providers that, you know, you can host, you know, other in-memory databases and IaaS, but a true database as a service is very differentiated in that sense. And then, you know, we are working towards both this, you know, like the scale up where you can get larger and larger size databases, and you'll see this progressively as we go through FY17. That's a very big part of, you know, how we're thinking about it. And like, how do we enable, you know, the large scale out pattern as well?
Yeah. Okay. Gerald, we'll actually get to your question in a second because he's asking something that you and I talked about, and we'll actually get to that. But as we're moving toward this, you mentioned the lift and shift and enterprise. You know, how do we think about that from, you talked about from the enterprise? Is there focus, like you talked in FY17? Is there focus to say, I want to take my tried and true on-premises enterprise app, and just kind of, you know, how do we make that easy for people to do that? I mean, is that a
So there is this two things for this. First of all, you know, do you support the hardware?
Yeah.
I mean, because some of it is not just the SQL Server itself, but what it runs on. And there's a very intentional strategy. We're, you know, doing a ton of study on the market. We're looking at the demand that's coming in, where, you know, customers talk to us, ISVs talk to us, who've been, you know, the SQL-friendly ISVs on-prem as they start thinking about their cloud story. So based on that, we have a roadmap in terms of how we're going to just get better and better hardware as it gets released, you know, your Gen 4s, Gen 5s, etc. The other, you know, other aspect of it is, you know, how do you get the, in the PaaS environment, since you've abstracted storage management, I mean, you can't go and create file groups and partition your data, right? I mean, SQLDB abstracts all that for you. Like, how do you, you know, do all of that for very large databases when you start getting into the several terabyte, tens of terabytes range?
Yeah.
So there's a ton of thinking that's happening in that space.
Right.
And finally, how do you make data migration easy? You know, is it replication? You know, what else?
Yeah, so, what's the data movement story around that?
All those discussions are very active right now.
So with SQL GA'd, you know, 16 GA'd, what's the SQL, what's the thinking of the SQL engineering? Is there like a, you know, a period of time, or is there, you know, was the very next day they're going, all right, what's next, right? I mean, what's their, what's the movement now, the vision for the SQL engineering team?
Yeah, you know, so there is no resting period, unfortunately. I mean, it's a pretty competitive industry, you know, where you got to keep innovating. So the cloud-first model holds. I mean, you know, internally, even though internally we still are striving towards releasing, you know, monthly builds as they're coming out, so we're still working on that. You know, at some point in the future, we're going to start making them public, so we start getting the excitement. Obviously, you know, the Helsinki, you know, folks, and we'll sort of talk about that. They have their private preview that they're working, you know, on a monthly cadence. So if you're interested in that, you know, absolutely sign up. I know Slava and Tobias gave a pretty exciting Channel 9 talk.
A very hotly watched show.
Right. So, I mean, and the response, like we discussed, has been pretty amazing for that. I mean, there are a bunch of things that we are thinking about, you know, as we think about the future of, you know, where do we go next with SQL. You know, without getting into very specific details, because a lot of these are very active discussions, you know, we think about planning and themes, but, you know, there's aspects we are learning from stuff like workload insight.
Yeah.
Right? Like, hey, how do you make the database intelligent? You know, that's a theme that's showing up in Azure.
Yeah.
Not just from a workload insight standpoint, but we have, like, built-in threat detection, you know, a lot of static analysis that we're doing for T-SQL just from a developer experience standpoint, which is, security is becoming very, very critical, right?
Yeah.
It's huge. So there's thinking around that. And, you know, like, how do you, now that we have QDS, so we get a lot of flight recorder type data, if you will, right, which sort of, so, you know, like, given the fact that we have all this information, you know, what can we do? How does that impact query processing moving forward? So there's, like, lots of, you know, innovative areas.
A lot of motions going on at the same time.
Right, and you know, and a lot of it is, like, can you use machine learning to make things in the database more intelligent? Yeah.
Yeah, how do we think about, you know, You talked about, you know, making the database intelligent, right? So to me, that's, you know, how do we take the whole analysis component of SQL and, you know, where do you see that going? Not to give away, you know, any of the, you know, future type, but, you know, how do you see that going?
You know, you're talking about analysis services?
Yeah, well, not just analysis services, but like R integration and some of those analytical type of components. Well, and
analysis. And, you know, so what we started with SQL 16 is, you know, in each of these areas, I mean, we had 7 or 8 hero scenarios that we basically launched with SQL 16, you'd see continuous investment. That's I mean, that's almost, you know, whenever we talk about a new release, we talk about just completing the existing scenarios as we learn more and more about them. So it's very natural to expect you'll see continuous investment in R, you'll see investments in Polybase, et cetera, right? So that's, you know, like, you know, same thing with Always Encrypted Stretch. We're waiting. I mean, some of this is now we wait for customer feedback. And then based on that, you sort of extend, you know, go
drive
back
to, you know.
Correct. So, and that, I think, if I basically had to say, like, one big change from the past and now is, we don't just decide what to do next. You know, we've built certain things.
Yeah.
Now it's like, let's learn from the customers, let's learn from the feedback, and then go solve what they're asking for rather than us deciding, oh, this is the next cool thing to go do. Yeah.
Yeah, it's that iteration you talked about.
Correct.
Being able to cloud, get that feedback immediately. Okay.
Correct.
So let's talk about, and get back to Gerald's question about any update on SQL on Linux. You talked about Helsinki. So let's parlay that into what's the, kind of the future, how are we thinking toward it? Because I think you just alluded to this a little bit. How are we thinking about the future, not just from the Helsinki perspective, but, you know, where do we see a lot of the work you guys are doing and planning now?
Yeah, so, you know, for Helsinki, I think the goal, in some sense, is clear, where we sort of, at this point, trying to define the MVP, which is like, hey, you know, what are the, you know, like, we know that the RDBMS, you know, will, you know, that's definitely a thing that we want to take over to Linux.
Yep.
Right? So one of the things that the team is working through right now, based on the feedback that they're getting from the private preview, is, you know, what should the MVP look like, which is a viable thing. You know, they're having active discussions on what should the tooling story be, you know, because it's not just for you know, the Microsoft people who are using Linux, but this is for the people who traditionally have written managed server products on Linux. So there's command line richness that needs to come in. We are looking, you know, like, you know, are there aspects where we need to sort of build some cross-platform tooling as well? So there's very active discussions going on around that. Performance and scale, you know, what should, you know, like how do we go and just right out of the gate, just nail that. Manageability story, right? Like typically when people deploy server software on Linux machines, you know, how does that work with the other thing, you know, the other tooling, if you will, which is not Windows specific. So there's a ton that the team is learning as they're going through preview. I mean, again, I think we've discussed this in the past. I mean, the response has been pretty phenomenal. I mean,
The fact that we keep getting questions about it, I think.
Yeah, so the updates, what I'd say is, you know, like, again, monthly releases are, you know, going out to private preview customers. You know, please go sign up for it. I mean, you know, right now we're still in the learning phase is what I'd say it. Towards the end of the year, I'm hoping that we would have learned enough that we can come back and share something more broadly.
Cool. Okay. Awesome. All right. I think we've talked about everything we wanted to cover. I think, you know, the next for me is we look at, you know, SQL DW GA coming very soon and look into the feedback over 16. I think the next 6 to 12, 18 months are going to be very interesting on how, you know, where SQL is going and how the whole actually the whole data platform is going. The question I wanted to follow up with was, you know, we as we look at the data platform broadly,
right?
You got, you know, SQL on premises, you know, SQL as a service, not SQL DB, Elastic Pools, SQL DW, things like that. How does this work? You know, is there work or is there thought about how do we play into the Cortana?
Correct.
Bigger picture, you know, the intelligence, you know, the analytics, I think was it Cortana Analytic or Intelligence Suite, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, so there is a very well thought through, you know, strategy have for all of data. I mean, you know, this is SQL Unplugged, so we keep focusing on SQL and its related things. But essentially, if you think about it, you know, like the entire, you know, analytics play that we have with data is, you know, beyond SQL. I mean, obviously we have DocumentDB, which is our NoSQL store. We have search.
That was kind of the question, right? We have, how do we think about, you know, this from a beyond relational?
Correct.
Right.
So there's interesting things, right? If you go sort of like super high 15,000, you know, 50,000 foot level, it's all about, hey, how do you create a platform that is able to deal with all kinds of data and provide you the insights and the intelligence you need with, like, you know, the cutting edge innovation that's happening through things like machine learning, right? So that's one part. How are you able to, you know, connect it with tooling like, you know, Power BI? How are you able to use things like ADF, you know, the catalog to sort of build apps, migrate data? So, you know, there is an all up very, very thought through strategy. And, you know, obviously SQL is a very, very critical part of it.
Yep.
But it's beyond SQL itself, right?
Yeah.
You know, there's, and you know, just the idea essentially is, and it's beyond SQL, not just in terms of stores, but like having a choice in terms of the databases, having a choice in terms of non-relational stores.
And
you'd see more and more of that coming up in Azure, which is going to be truly a cloud platform for all kinds of app, all kinds of data, all kinds of platforms, whether it's been built by Microsoft or outside.
Yeah, so, you know, kind of the open to everybody.
Absolutely.
Relational, non-relational, and not just Microsoft, right?
Very, very key principle.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
So you'll see a lot more of that.
All right, we are out of time. Rohan, thank you. Very insightful. We appreciate your time. Hopefully this was helpful. If you have questions for July's show, you can tweet those to @SQLUnplugged or email those to sqlunplugged@outlook.com. Ron, thanks for coming.
Hey, thanks, Scott.
We will see you in July, and everybody will see you in July. Thanks much.
See you guys. Thank you.